More grace to everybody. Thank you so much for being on this clarion call. I want to release that in the atmosphere. You need to listen to what I'm going to say. You know, the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know, just because you have an ear don't mean you can hear. Most deaf people that I know have ears, but they can't hear. Isn't that something? So it doesn't take your ears to hear. There got to be something on the inside that's causing that ear to hear. Because there are those who can hear without ears, but there are those who can hear with ears. But let him who have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's very powerful. You don't see with your eyes. You see in your spirit. You see with your mind. Only thing your eyes does is basically project, manifest what you see. But you're really seeing with your mind. And that's very true because so many people have eyes but can't see. Jesus said it, having eyes and can't see, having ears and can't hear. You got to see in your inner man before you ever see on the outer man. That alone is just a wealth of knowledge that can change your life. As a man thinketh, what? So is he. That's what the word of God says. As you think, so are you. I am so excited about what God is getting ready to do in the life of his people all over the world. I am convinced that if God be for you, Romans 8:31, he's more than the whole world against you. I want you to start getting yourself together and getting yourself in a posture to make sure that you have heeded the word of the Lord. And I'm not just saying this to you, I'm saying this to me too, because God gave us a very clear instruction. Those who are members of Kingdom City Church, those who are under the voice, those who are listening to the voice of the Lord comes out of my mouth. God told us that this is the year of the crossroad, that we have to hear him this year, that there were made the decision that we needed to make, whether through an individual, concerning our life, concerning our future. But we have to make major decisions. I asked the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, why are there so many single women in the church? Not just KCC, all over the body. I believe I heard the Spirit of God say to me so strongly. He said, because many people are waiting on a king instead of being connected to a soldier. Every woman is not anointed to be with a king. Amen. But nothing is wrong with a soldier. Amen. Soldiers can make good kings, but every king won't make a good soldier. Good God from on high. That's another powerful thing I just said. I said a soldier can make a good king, dedicated, loyal, committed, will fight, but every king won't make a good soldier. It's not until you learn how to be a master being a faithful of someone else's house that God can trust you to be a master over your own house. That he said that there's so many decisions that we're going to have to make in this hour. You, me, decisions about our health, decision about our future. Hallelujah. Decisions about our next. Making sure that we're not moving in our flesh. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That's 3 and 5. Proverbs, verse 6. In all thy ways, not some of your ways, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And the word of God says that he will direct your path. So the Lord is faithful. He's a man of his word, and he does what he says. And he said that if we did not make the necessary decisions that we needed to make this year, that many of us would go through that same cycle in our lives. I want to ask yourself, what decisions have you made? How disciplined are you? Are you as disciplined this year as you need to be? Are you as committed as you should be? It's amazing how these years are just getting away from us. That's right. The years are getting away from us. Right now, the years are just getting away from us. Slowly but surely, the years are getting away from us. We're getting ready to hit into the year of 2023, and this is not a time to be playing, but we're going to have to make our calling and our election sure. We're getting ready to start up our prayer thing very soon, again in November. I believe I have a very strong word from the Lord to go back to our underground prayer, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., starting on November the 1st. Matter of fact, you should go ahead and put that in your calendar, November the 1st. We're going back into prayer because we're going to have to get back in intercession and get back into prayer so that we don't find ourselves in the same place we was last year. The Spirit of God dealt with my heart, and I'm going to share with you some things that I believe God told me is coming. As you know, right now, I am writing a book. If I'm not told you, I'm telling you now. I'm in the process of writing a book. And the book that I'm writing is a prophecy book. It's a prophetic book about what is coming to America. Just a prophetic book for the nation, for the United States of America. Amen. It'll be ready by the, I feel the anointing of God flowing through my body. It'll be ready by the 1st of January. But I have a very strong word from the Lord about things that are coming and things that are getting ready to happen. And I can't afford to miss God in this last hour. I got to make sure that I'm doing exactly what God has told me to do. So God said to me, he said, son, you need to tell the body of Christ, people everywhere, that we need to budget areas of our life. Areas of our life must be budgeted. You can't just be a bad steward. Can't just be doing what you want to do with your life. Your life must have intentionality. Your life must matter. You must know what you're doing. What do you mean? There are areas of your life that must be budgeted. Power, write that down. Power is an area of your life that must be budgeted. You got to know how to use it. If God is giving you insight or influence, that's the word I want to use. If God is giving you influence, if you have a voice that people listen to, if he's made you a leader or you're influential, giving you power, you got to know how to use it. Amen. You don't ask God for more if you don't manage well what you have. Right now, you have a manager at a job, and then you have a supervisor, and then the manager goes higher. I think general manager, then district manager. Then you get on up there and up there and up there. But the person who is promoted is only promoted based on their ability to handle conflict. Amen. To whom much is given, much is required. The person who is in charge is the person who has to know how to handle conflict. You know, God has given me power. He's given me insight and influence and allow folk to listen to me. And do you know how tough it is to deal with egos and personalities and people who always think they're right? Or this person don't like that person, and this person feels that way about that person, and you got to make everybody feel important, and while you're making everybody feel important, you got to also make people know you don't run nothing. So you are elevated based on your ability to manage well conflict. And again, you got to know how to use the power that God has given you, all right? Don't use it for filthy lucre. Don't use it for your personal gain. Don't use it to take advantage of people. You know, some of you just lack the ability to handle power well. But this is the season, this next season, you're going to handle power well. Lay hands on yourself. Say, I will handle power well. That's important because you're getting ready to be given more power than you've ever had before. Power in spheres and realms and places you've never had before. You're going to have power at your job, power in your church, power with God, power in spaces and places. People are going to wonder how you got it, but God's going to give it to you. And you're going to have to learn how to budget that power. Number two, I say this, and I say this with wisdom, and I want you to hear this, because we are people of faith. So hear me when I say this. I don't mean this in a faithless way, okay? Hear the spirit of what I'm saying, and this is what I mean. But number two, you're going to have to learn how to budget your money. If you disregard money, you're going to end up broke. You're going to have to make it a priority. Now, let me help you understand what I mean by budgeting, because some of you have a plan for budgeting, and that's not what I'm talking about. Remember, God gave Joseph the interpretation of a dream that was given to Pharaoh, and in that dream, it was that there was going to be 7 years of plenty, but then there was going to be 7 years of famine. But then God gave him instruction and told him, in your time of plenty, make sure you save for the time of famine. That was an instruction. It wasn't nothing he got from Susie Orman. It wasn't nothing he got from Warren Buffett. It was an instruction that came from the Holy Ghost. And I want to say that to you. Even in your budgeting, you got to make sure that you are listening to God, because sometimes you can get so, I'm making up a word, budgety, that you budget God out and you budget faith out. Prophet Khan, you're preaching good tonight. And you budget the wisdom of God out. Am I making sense? So you want to get to a place where you don't just budget. And I'm saying this to an older woman that is on this phone right now, who have things that you have set aside. You know, we spend money on what we want to spend our money on. But I want to say to you, don't budget God out. You know, this believing God with money seems to be very tough in the lives of most people. But according to the scripture, it's supposed to be least. I mean, if you can believe God for salvation, you should be able to believe God for money. If you can believe God for your life, you've never been to heaven, but you believe in it. You don't know what sin looks like, but you believe God washed it away. You don't know how dirty your soul looked. You never looked at your soul and seen it dirty. You've never seen a spirit. Amen. But you believe it. You've never seen air, but you breathe it. All of these things you've never seen, you believe. Yet, it's very hard for you to trust God with finance. And I want to say to you, budget money, but don't budget God out. Be in a position that whatever he tells you to do, you can do it. Because if you listen to God at this last hour, something very profound and powerful is getting ready to happen in your life. And the next thing I want to say is, you know, I know we live in a time now where people lack discipline. Amen. You just lack it in every area of your life. You all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. I do believe that. We are a new covenant church. We are a new covenant message. There's a lot you can do, but just because I can do don't mean I'll do it.
Well, why won't you do it, Prophet Khan?
Because it's not beneficial. It's not beneficial to my assignment. Did you hear what I said? I said it's not beneficial to my assignment. I'm going to try that one more time. I said it's not beneficial to my assignment. So there are many things you don't do, not because you can't do it. You don't do it because it's not beneficial to your assignment. It's not going to profit you nothing. I mean, going here and going there, some of you smoke weed. I mean, you're just weed smokers. Are you going to go to heaven if you smoke weed? Yes, you'll go to heaven. Amen. Amen. You might get there before everybody else because you're so high. Amen. But you lack discipline in your life. And it just speaks to your immaturity. It speaks to how childish you are. And I'm saying all that to say this. There are those of us on this call that are married. There are those of us on this call who are not married. And some of you are just out of control. And the Spirit of God said this to me. He said so many people are just out of control. Amen. Not just married folk. Amen. I'm talking about people that ain't married. You know, people don't believe in keeping themselves no more. So you're just having sex with everybody. Sex with whoever you see. The same way you handle your money is the same way you handle your body. You know, you just sleep around. No love for yourself. No discipline for yourself. Just messing with everybody. Amen. Anybody look good, you want them. And this thing is so perverted, it'll have you sleeping with who you want and lying to who you need. Amen. The devil is a liar. You just sleep with whoever you want, tell them whatever lie you want to tell them, manipulate whoever you want to manipulate to get whatever you want to get because you like discipline. That needs to be budgeted in your life. Budgeted in your life. Budgeted in your life. You've got to, because, see, if you don't get a handle on these things, you'll find yourself buying whatever you want. But by the time you bought what you want, you don't have no money, so you got to beg for what you need. God, give me power to budget power. Power to budget my money and the wisdom of God to budget my flesh. Bring my flesh under subjection. These are things that have to be budgeted. Your eating got to be budgeted. Just eating everything you see. With your gluttonous self. Come here, Prophet Khan. I'm preaching to you too. Just eating whatever you see. Those things have to be budgeted. These are things that the Spirit of God said to me. So you need to ask yourself, am I over budget? Am I over budget? You got to ask yourself that. Am I doing too? All right. Am I over budget with power? Am I overextending myself? You got to have things that you say, what won't you do? You got to have borders and boundaries and disciplines in your life. This is what I'll do. This is what I won't do. This is what I'm not going to say. I won't say whatever I want to say whenever something comes to my mind. I won't treat people any kind of way. I have boundaries in my life because I'm learning how to budget power. You know, when you look at the scripture, it dealt with fornication and it dealt with a profane person. And it said, it brought it up with a man by the name of Esau. And we don't hear many people talk about Esau, but you should think about it. The oldest brother was Esau. It should have been, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But it doesn't say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. It says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, that's powerful. What do you mean? I said it should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But Esau lost it all because he didn't know how to budget. He lost it all because he was hungry. He lost it all because he made a deal. He lost it all. I want to say something very powerful that I hope you listen to. He lost it all because he was stupid and made a permanent decision based on a temporary situation. He made a permanent decision based on a temporary situation. How many of you get frustrated and make decisions that would destroy your life and your future, all because you're frustrated, all because you're angry, all because you're upset, all because you're in your feelings? You're willing to forfeit the promise of God for your life. Come here, young man. Come here, young lady. You're mad and you're angry. And because you're angry, you just make a decision. A temporary situation. One thing that you must learn is you never make decisions when you're angry. Never make decisions when you're upset. Never make decisions when you're in your feelings. Because you can make the wrong decision and it can destroy your life for forever. And so many people are making permanent decisions over temporary situations. Come on here. Are you listening to me? You are so silly that you'll have a 30-year marriage and you'll give away a 30-year marriage for 30 minutes of pleasure. And I'm not saying that to kill nobody, because all of us have done stupid stuff. Don't get amnesia. We all been stupid. But think it through, sir. Think it through, ma'am. Yes, he may be immature right now. Yes, she may be immature right now. Yes, they may not be everything that they're supposed to be right now. But you're going to make a permanent decision based on a temporary situation? The devil is a liar. I have discipline in my life. Here you are. Got a goal that you're reaching. You're headed toward it. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to lose 40 pounds. I'm going to lose 60 pounds. You're doing good. But my God, something is set before you that can get you off a track. I want you to hear me by the Spirit, because I know the Spirit of God has me ministering what I'm speaking to you today. Jacob wasn't supposed to be in the list, but Esau lost it all because he made a permanent decision based on a temporary situation. And the Bible declares that he sought with repentance and found it not. The Bible says he sought it with tears. But he couldn't change it. He could not change the decision. He sought it diligently with tears. He cried. He begged. You don't know when you're going to make one wrong decision that's going to set your life off track forever. It got to matter to you in this hour. I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost. That's why we're in the year of the crossroads. Your decisions are mattering. Stay focused, young lady. Stay focused, ma'am. Stay focused, sir. Stay focused, preacher. Stay focused, prophetess. Stay focused, pastor. Stay focused, woman of God. Stay focused, ball player, athlete. You're sitting up making decisions all because it feels good and it looks good and it sounds good, but it's going to be your demise. Never forget, God spoke to a man of God who I knew and told him to marry this woman who was on crack. But God told him to do it, and God told him he was going to save her. And you know how tough that was to do? Amen. It was tough. She was saved, but she was on drugs. Oh, la, la, ba, ya, ya. She was saved, but was on drugs. And what if he decided to walk away? But now she's his partner in ministry. What if he got mad and made a move in his flesh? And again, I'm not making going off on nobody, but I want you to hear me. It matters, the decisions you're making in this hour. Because listen, what if the door closes? Noah preached to them people for years. They never seen rain. You know the Bible said that a mist came from the ground. But one day, the door of that ark shut. I'm telling you by the Spirit of grace that some of you have missed your hour of visitation. Some of you are playing with your future. You're playing with your destiny, all because you're getting in your feelings. And you're going to have to grow up in this hour. Because, see, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to be in a crisis. That's the crisis. The crisis of being the devil don't just want you stupid. He wants you to be in a stupid system. Trapped. Stuck on stupid. Look back over your life, the last 5 years, last 10 years. Look at the cycle. Stuck on stupid. Same person. Same people. Same friends, still in a cycle of living beyond your means.
You want to change it, but you can't. That's what Esau was. He wanted to change, but he couldn't change it. He wanted to get out of it. Oh, Prophet Khan, minister to somebody on this call today. Yes, Lord, I will. He wanted to change it, but he could not change it. This man had got in a cycle, in a system of stupid, a system of dysfunction, a system of perversion, a system. But that thing breaks this year. You cannot do it this year. Hear me by the Spirit of God. The Bible said he sought it diligently, but found no place of repentance. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Metanoia. The Bible said he sought repentance. Metanoia. You know what that means in the Greek? It means to change your mind. That kind of repentance really is like an extreme change that not just you change, but it's a change that affects your behavior. See, I can be sorry for hurting you, but just because I'm sorry don't mean I've repented. Once I'm sorry for hurting you and it's a genuine repentance, I'm going to know that you've repented because it's going to affect your behavior. Does that make sense? It's metanoia. It's to change your mind. It's to change direction. Now, I want to say this to you by the Spirit of God, because your computer that you have right now, that laptop, that desktop, I need to find mine, by the way, but that desktop or that laptop that you have, that computer has something called default settings. Default settings are settings that are in the computer that the computer is committed to. Prophet Khan, you are ministering under the anointing, and somebody is being set free while you're ministering, and I thank you, Lord. It's a default setting that's in the computer, and the computer is committed to that setting. Now, you have to listen to me, because there is nothing in the world as powerful as a changed mind. And a lot of people right now, I can get to my computer and I can change the font on that computer. And the letter that I write might be in the font that I changed it to. But the minute that letter is over and I get ready to write another letter, guess what's going to happen? That font is going to go right back to the default setting, because I changed the font, but I didn't change the default. It is the default that must change. You can change your church. You can even change the people you're hanging around. And people do that. But you go right back home to your default. And give it time. You're going to find yourself in the same place. You can have a conversation with somebody and they get it. They actually get it for that day. And there's a change for 2 weeks. And there's a change for 3 days. But that default setting has to change. You gotta change your mind, not your number. You know, when you get mad, that's what you do. I'm going to change my number. You don't need to change your number. You don't need to change your address. You need to change your mind. You sit up there changing friends. I'm going to hang around me some different people. That ain't going to do you no good if you don't change your mind. Are you listening to me? There were so many people who was on drugs on this call one day. But one day, guess what you did? Changed your mind. There were so many women, men, nasty, whores, liars, cheaters, whatever you was. But one day you changed your mind. Lay hands on yourself and say, I'm changing my mind. Just like you changed your mind when you decided, I'm not going to the club no more. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not getting high anymore. All of these people that think they got demons, if you look up the word demon and look at it very in your Greek and do an in-depth definitive study and an etymology of the word demon, do you know what it's going to come to? In your mind. That demon that is tormenting your life is connected to a thought life. That's why it's called a stronghold. There's a hold on you, and it's in your mind. And until you change your mind, it's not, you're not going to change your behavior. Are you listening to me? Well, Prophet Khan, why didn't Esau find his place of repentance? The Bible says he sought it with tears. Prophet Khan, take your time and minister this and let these people go and give them the word of the Lord so they can get this. The Bible says he sought it with tears. That's why he couldn't find it. He sought it with emotions. And your emotions are as unstable as your behavior. The reason he didn't get deliverance is because a decision is better than an emotion. I can have emotions, but still make a decision. I can be hurting, but make a decision. I had a conversation with a married couple the other day. I said, I have a question. Is divorce an option? They said, no, sir. I said, well, y'all can get through anything. Now, the minute he does something she don't like, she do something he don't like, they're going to have emotions. But the emotion cannot override what? The decision. I made a decision to be committed to God. I made a decision to prayer. I made a decision to fast. I made a decision to do what he's called me to do. Do I always feel like it? No. Do I always want to? No. Do I always like it? No. But guess what? My decision overrides the way that I feel. Are you listening to me today? Because if you are, your life is being changed right now. There are people in your life that you're going to have to make decisions that you're committed to. There, God sent you to a church, you make a decision that this is what I'm committed to. Some of you are committed to nothing. Everything about your life is emotional. Somebody make you mad, you leave. You get mad at somebody at the church, you leave. Somebody talk about you, you leave. Leave the job, leave school. Everything you do is based on your emotions. And that's why you lack kantidike kankala akika ukuku ukukaba hendelibasha. That's why you lack stability in your life. You're unstable because everything in your life is based on how you feel. And you are not committed to your decision. I may feel like eating something, but if I commit it and said I'm not eating it, I can't eat it. I got to be dedicated to my decision. Some of you are not even committed to yourself. You lie to yourself. You tell yourself you're going to exercise and don't do it. You tell yourself you're going to watch your eating and don't do it. You tell yourself, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Amen. I'm going to be better with my money this year. I'm going to treat people better this year. I'm going to handle people better this year. And you're not even committed to yourself. You have people in your life that you just lie to. and you're just not committed. You can't seek change with your emotions. You have to make a decision. The prodigal son in the 15th chapter of Luke was in the hog pen. But the Bible declared that man made a decision. What he did came to himself. He said, the servants in my daddy's house eat better than this. And I'm a son. Came to himself. You have to make a decision that I'm not going to be insecure. Make a decision that I'm not going to be ruled by how I feel. Make a decision to be committed. I want you to hear me. You have to make a decision. And I'm not telling you that once you make that decision, are you listening to me? I feel like that once you make that decision, you might type in your old font sometimes. You might go back and type in that on, and the devil may try to tell you you ain't changed. But I'm going to say something else to you that's very, 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 very profound. This is when you know that you are changed. When it's no longer your normal. That's when you know there's been a change. If me getting angry and getting upset is my normal, and it takes a lot now for me to get angry and upset, then there's been a change. But if I find myself still doing it, all it takes is the right button to get picked. I tell somebody I'm not going to do something, but the minute I get in my feelings, the minute I get upset, the minute I this, I go right back, you've not been changed. You know that you are changed when something is no longer your normal. Are you listening to me? The sheep and the pig, both of them get in the mud, but one of them stays. And the other one leaves. If the sheep gets in the mud, he don't just wallow in it. Guess what the sheep do? He go to crying. He go to yelling. He go to screaming because he know that ain't where he's supposed to be. Everybody in here is going to miss and type in your old font sometimes. But don't stay there. You got to change your default setting. Are you listening to me? I've never seen the righteous forsaken. We fall, but we don't wallow. So, Prophet Karn, what do I have to do? You know that the battleground is the mind. And in your mind is your default settings. Joyce Meyer said, the battle for the believer is between his ears. Pastor Butler says, after having been in the military so many years, I've become a lightweight authority in combat maneuvers, espionage and sabotage and the like. And I understand that where there is a battle or any military campaign, there must be a place where the battle is fought. And in the life of the believer, that battle is in your mind. If you don't get a hold of your thought life, you're going to sit there and be depressed all your life, and it's nobody's fault but yours. You are in control of your thoughts. As a man thinketh, so is he. So how do I change my default setting? These are the questions. Write this down. Write this down. I'm going to get out your way. I know y'all don't want to hear this, but I believe somebody is getting set free. Brother Lassane, I know you over there loving this. I know you just loving this, Brother Fred. I just know y'all loving this word. Well, Prophet Karn, how do I change my default setting? These are the questions I need to ask myself. Write this down. How do I receive correction? Question number one, how do I receive correction? Do I take it? Do I get mad? Do I have always have the last word? Do I have to explain myself? Do I have to defend myself? Do I got to get my point out? Do I retreat? Do I lash out? How do I receive correction? Second question, who have I authorized to correct me? Because a person can only correct you if you've authorized them to do it. Now, who have I authorized to correct me? Because if I've authorized somebody to correct me, I cannot get upset with them when they correct me and I don't agree with the correction. Because if that's so, they're not authorized to correct me. The only person authorized to correct me is me. And I only submit to the correction when I agree with the correction, which means no one is authorized to correct me but me. Teach, Prophet Karn. Number three, when I'm corrected, is there any truth? Is there any truth to what's being said? Should I make these changes? T-Well, should I make changes? Write this down. Your reaction to correction determines how fast you succeed. Your reaction to correction determines how fast you succeed. What do you mean? I was raised one way. I was taught things. But I was always pliable. That's what the word delight in the Hebrew means. When it says delight thyself in the Lord, it means become pliable. I was always open. I was always open to learning. I was never stuck. Because I knew that God was bigger than me. He was bigger than what I was exposed to. And because I was willing to make adjustments that other preachers and other individuals would not, it caused me to go places they never went. Be careful of those who call your adjusting compromise. And you have to know the difference. Because there are times that people are compromising. But everything is not a compromise. Sometimes it's an adjustment. And your reaction to correction, if someone says, you don't do that way, I sat in the room one time with a man. He said, you think you're going to be great, and that's how you do with your napkin when you get done eating? You're going to stand before prisoners. His name was Eric Idle. I need to check on him. Last time I heard, he had 6 months to live. I don't even know if he's still alive. But Eric Idle said that to me. He said, you're going to stand before kings and governors and people who are wealthy. You're going to sit at tables with wealthy people. You can't eat like that. You can't talk like that. You have to make some adjustments. It didn't feel good, but I made the adjustments because I wanted to succeed. If there's something that I need to change, be the person to say, if I need to change something, tell me. Because you know what early correction does? It saves you a lot of tears. Pastor Buckner, this is good. I said early correction saves you an enormous amount of tears. If you were corrected as a child, do you know how many things you wouldn't be dealing with today as an adult? If your mother or your father would have corrected behaviors in your life and didn't spoil you, it would save you heartbreaks if you got corrected. So be a person who listens. Be a person who listens. The Bible says, study to be quiet. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Be a person who listens. The most important correction in love is going to hurt. And if you can manage correction, remember I talked about managing power, managing money, managing your flesh. If you can manage correction, it'll take you place you never imagined. Don't look at correction as an attack. Look at correction as a gift. And I'm going to say something else powerful. I'm going to say one of the most powerful things that I've ever learned. And I had to learn this when God was raising me up for where he was taking me. The person who corrects you ain't always qualified to correct you. Ah! I had to learn that. These are secrets that changed my life. Robert Carr, why are you telling us this? Because it is the 15th of October. You got 2 months to get it together. 2 months to stop acting stupid. 2 months to make the adjustments that you need to make. And when you get corrected, don't get mad, because the way you respond takes the sting out of the correction. What do you mean? When somebody corrects you, don't get mad. Thank you for telling me. Thank you. I didn't recognize that in myself, but I'm going to take that in. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for not letting me be a fool. Thank you for not letting me walk around here and look stupid and crazy. Master your responses to the people who correct you. Master your response to the person who you've authorized to correct you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, honey. Thank you, baby. Whoever it is, thank you. Thank you for telling me about myself. And you be the person that can take it and can handle correction. Are you listening to me? I'm giving you a keys that can change your life. I promise you this can change your life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, I think that's 29, it says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be restored, and that without remedy. But let me say what the NIV says. Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. The New Living Translation says, whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. This is Proverbs 29:1. The contemporary English version says, if you keep being stubborn after many warnings, you will suddenly discover you have gone too far. God is giving you a second chance. God dealt with me about this, and he said, I want you to teach this. And I knew it. I mean, it's so prophetic. He challenged me to challenge 200 people tonight to sow a seed of $55. Five is the number of grace. And it's amazing that the Spirit of God had me to teach this and talk this through and communicate this. You know, I can get on this line and prophesy, and I'm going to tell you some things that the Lord told me are coming, and I want you to jot down and I want you to write them down. But the Lord told me to take my time and teach this, and I think it's so profound that God has challenged us to sow this 55, double grace. And I want you to do this 9:54. But as soon as the clock hit 9:55, as soon as the clock hit 9, there it is, there it is, there it is. I need you to make a decision right now that I'm not going to be controlled by my money. I'm not going to be controlled by my flesh. I'm not going to be controlled by my feelings. I may not feel like sowing this right now, but I'm going to make a decision to do it because I believe the prophet. So I'm challenging right now every person, but at least 200 of you, to sow that seed of $55 right now. Double grace. God said, I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you another chance. You're getting another chance to start over, another chance to get it right, another chance to amend your ways, another chance to not be where you was last year. Come on. $PBCJR for all of you that are on this call. $PBCJR. $PBCJR. Amen. If you don't have Cash App, go to the website, briancarn.com, briancarn.org. Sow it there. If you have to mail it in, mail it. P.O. Box 11507, Jacksonville, Florida, 32239. This message needs to get out to everybody. You're not sowing this for a house and a car. I need double grace. I need another chance. And God is releasing chances so that you don't find yourself in the same place you was last year. The devil be damned. Yele mandolo kosata. Hilalabashata la mandele ketobosi. I said, you're sowing that seed of $55. Yes, young man. Yes, young lady. This is a profound word. Thank you, Lord. He gave it to me. He's given you the chance to get it right. Lord, I will not go into this next year the same way. No way. No way. I'm not going to seek repentance with tears. I'm not against crying, but I'm not going to seek repentance with tears. No, not doing that. I'm going to make a decision in spite of how I feel that I am not going to be the same person. I'm not going to be dominated by my feelings. And the minute things don't go the way I want, I make these irrational decisions, say things that I don't mean, all because I'm mad. That's what children do. That's how you know the difference between children and adults. What do children do? Say the first thing come to their mind. Just be talking. That's why you don't talk around children. Why you don't talk around children? Because they say whatever they hear. Just repeat it. You are mature now. And you've made a decision that I'm not going to be like I was. The devil is a liar. Every person under the sound of my voice is sowing that $55 seed. If you're on this call and you don't have the 55, do 5. But I'm telling you, you need to be sowing that 55. Every person who has the 55, you need to be sowing 55. Because you need double grace. What is double grace? A second chance. Yes, mother. Yes, father. Yes, sister. Yes, brother. You control your own life. That's not right. There are people in my life who I know are supposed to be in my life, and it hurts sometimes, but I have to be committed beyond my feelings. I know you're making decisions to protect yourself, but that's not God. I know you've convinced yourself that what you're doing is God, but I'm telling you, as a prophet of God, it's not. I'm telling you, you in your flesh. Yes, I'm telling you that. Won't nobody else tell you? I'm going to tell you. You are in your flesh. Your life don't belong to you. You've been bought with a price. I don't get to do what I want to do, say what I want to say, respond the way I want to respond. Them days are over. Beshandidio sikanaya. Halabashatola la mandalakia. I don't get to do that. I must make adjustments. And this is the year that I'm making those adjustments. Sow it for your business. Sow it for your children. Sow it for your family. If God has assigned you to a church, get committed. If God has assigned you to a man, assigned you to a woman, assigned you to a friend, assigned you to a business, stop making decisions based on how you feel. Be committed, dedicated. Prophet Khan is preaching under the anointing, and I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying in the Holy Ghost. Stop making these drastic decisions. I ain't never going to do that again. Yes, you are, because it's an emotional decision. It's as emotional as you were when you did it. Those days are over. You're sowing that $55 seed right now. Are you hearing me? I look forward to this next place, this next dimension that God is getting ready to take us into. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Some of you right now should be so broken. Some of you, shakalamandelebe kesalamotia. Some of you right now should be so broken. That's $PBCJR. Some of you right now should be so broken. If you're going to be committed, be committed. If I'm under a bridge, I'm under a bridge committed. If I'm on top of the moon, I'm on top of the moon committed. You don't look at your circumstance and change your commitment. You don't look at your situation and change your commitment. You don't tell somebody, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to this church. I'm committed to this ministry. I'm committed to this business. I'm committed to this person. Let me tell you something. Elisha was committed to Elijah. How committed are you? Are you committed when you get hurt? Are you committed when you let people down? Are you committed when you're let down? Are you committed when you're disappointed? Are you committed when you feel rejected? How committed are you? Are you committed when you don't get your way? Committed to what, Brother Carr? Change. Oh, bashata. Open your right mouth. Open your mouth right now and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Yendebe, bankini ankara mohosa. Ilalababashande. Ilobo koshande de bekita. Handalabohosia. Come on. Kiande de bededi alabanda labasha. Amen. I'm not insane. I'm not unpredictable. Amen. I have a sound mind. The opposite of fear is a sound mind. The opposite of a sound mind is fear. If I'm operating in fear, it lets me know that my mind is not sound. Fear comes from an unstable mind. The opposite of fear is a sound mind. People who are sound in mind, stable in mind, strong in mind, guess what? They don't operate in fear. They don't live by fear. You can't live in fear the rest of your life. Them days are over. God has called you to greater. Greater is your portion in this hour. Halabashande. Clap your hands if you receive this word tonight. Clap your hands if you were challenged. Clap your hands if you were rebuked. Clap your hands if God told you about yourself. Clap your hands if you love the Lord for loving you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pray for Tom Brady. There's a Tom Brady controversy coming up. There's a controversy coming up around Tom Brady. I want you to pray for the Mr. Pillow guy. You know, for the best night's sleep in the whole wide world is mypillow.com. I see like an attack against his body and his health. You know, he's a Christian, I believe, and we're praying for him. But almost like the enemy really is trying to take him out of here. I don't believe Biden is going to be reelected as president. I saw a new president. I saw a new president overtake the nation in a new way. So I want to say this, that I do not see Biden being reelected. I want to say that strong. Biden will not be reelected. Anything can happen through prayer and intercession, but I'm telling you, I do not see Biden being reelected. Okay? I see Toronto in the news. Toronto is in the news, and it's a very big story to come. I want you to pray against school shootings because I see another school shooting again. There's another school shooting coming. I'm telling you what I know. Also, you're going to see something on the news very soon concerning side effects that are coming from the vaccine. You're going to see side effects that are coming from the vaccine. People who got that vaccine are going to hear about side effects. And a sign being evil, I tell you, thus says the Lord. I see an NBA team that has never won that's going to win probably this next championship. It's going to be one that has never won before that's going to win. All right? 2024, during our next election, 2024 is going to shock the nation. Okay? Nobody saw, say with me, that a coming contender has been eliminated. So it's almost like something's going to happen with somebody in politics who they thought was going to be a coming contender, but something's going to happen where he's going to be eliminated, or they're going to be eliminated. I'm not saying it's a he, but they're going to be eliminated, and it's going to send shockwaves out of the earth. Okay? You also getting ready to see real estate drops, and a lot of folks are going to say it's crashing, but I'm telling you, by 2027, some real estate is going to be cheaper than even now. By 2027, real estate is going to be cheaper than even it is now. I also see an unusual winter storm. I see an unusual winter storm, and I'm going to say something prophetically. Something is going to happen And I'm just telling you things that I see by the Spirit. But there's an unusual winter storm coming, but something is going to happen where they're actually going to mandate recycling. You know, something's going to happen where recycling is going to be mandated. They're going to make everybody recycle. I want you to pray because I saw an unusual car accident find a famous athlete in this next season. I saw an athlete getting in a car accident. December is going to rock the nation. Okay, December, the month of December is going to rock the nation. Something unusual is going to be known. I believe judgment is looming over America. Okay, judgment is looming over America. And over the next several years, some people are going to say that certain things could divide our very nation to the point of no return. I'm also seeing a retail store shooting, maybe like a Target or Walmart. But I saw a major retail store in front of me, and I saw a shooting in front of that store. Also, you're going to see North Korea back in the news. They're going to continue to test smaller nations, smaller Asian nations in this season. You're going to see North Korea testing smaller Asian nations in this season, sending shockwaves of concern throughout the world. Something's going to happen with North Korea, but they're going to be testing other nations, and people are going to wonder what's going on. There's also a train derailment that's coming, a major train derailment, and it's not far away. And I almost feel like a conductor. It was a conductor error that created this accident. I saw the train derail, but I saw a conductor error. It wasn't the train's fault. It was the conductor. I see riots in our streets again. I see riots in this nation again. Just like it was in 2020 with Trump, I see more riots coming, and it's almost going to separate us more further. And in January, I'm talking about as soon as January comes in, there's a historic decision that's going to be made, that's going to be announced. Over the next year, you're going to see movie theaters closing. Malls are going to close. And it's like I heard people in the spirit saying, I miss the mall. I miss movies. Because over the next decade, movies and malls are going to be closing. I don't know what this meant, but maybe do it in your research. But the Lord says that the 1942 era will return to the American forefront. I don't even know what that means. But he said the 1942 era will return to the American forefront. So I don't know what that means. Let's pray about it. You know, I'm as clueless as you all. I just say what the Spirit of God gives me when he gives me to give it. There's another famous director, producer in the movies who's going to pass away suddenly. And I'm talking about this is one of the greatest. He's a director or a producer, but he's going to pass away suddenly. Thank you, Lord. There's also a bank robbery that's going to make headlines. I see a bank robbery, and it's going to be all over the nation because it was some kind of unique heist that created a stir nationwide. So let's pray. I'm giving you these things to pray so we can intercede. There's a recall coming on Tesla. There's a recall coming on Tesla. I'm also give you this prophetic word. I saw in the news, I kept seeing it while I was praying for this country, but I saw on the news
a certain amount dead and a certain amount wounded. And I can only imagine that this means there's going to be another massacre or a mass shooting. But this is breaking news. And I'm talking about it could be dozens or more than a dozen that's impacted. But I'm telling what the news is going to say. This amount of people dead, this amount of people wounded. Let's be praying. And I'm also sensing around, I want us to go into prayer. Thank God we'll be praying and fasting month of November. But I also want us to go in prayer around the day after Thanksgiving sale that week. You know, after Thanksgiving, there's usually some kind of sale. Around that time, I saw a major news story that had to do with a shooting, almost like a shooting Black Friday. So it's almost like I see a shooter right now that is planning something for the holiday season. So I want you to pray against this Christmas holiday shooter. And I also saw something that said prank goes deadly. These are things that the Lord has showed me in my prayer time. You know, Watch Night is coming up, and I want to challenge everybody that can to meet me in Charlotte, North Carolina for Watch Night service. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But I'm excited about what God is about to do. I am so excited. I received a rebuke from the Lord, and there's some changes that I have to make. And God told me he don't want no tears. He wants changes. You don't sit up there and always making no excuses for yourself. Make the adjustments. Amen. Lay hands on yourself right now and say, make the adjustment. You don't want to find yourself being unstable. Meddle not with him that's given easy to change. Be committed. Be dedicated. Keep your word to yourself. I'm a new person today. Say that. I'm a new person today. Make a decision. Make a decision. Be committed to it. And watch what God is about to do in your life. You know, you're blessed. You're anointed and you're favored. You can't be stopped. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Starting November 1st, we'll be going back into prayer. Set your clock, set your alarm, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. We'll be going into prayer and intercession. You have to break these cycles this year. If you don't, it's going to be your demise. Be committed. Be dedicated. Be faithful to who you say you are. Don't change. Amen. Amen. You are a new creature today. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for what you're going to do in Jacksonville. I thank you for what you're going to do in Charlotte. I thank you for what you're going to do in Houston. All next week, I'll be in Houston Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Hey, it's going to be awesome in Houston. Amen. That's where we'll be, in Houston, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll be in Houston, Texas, to receive whatever God has for us. I am blessed, I'm favored, I'm anointed, and I can't be stopped. I hope you wrote down those things I told you to write down. Sit down with yourself and make a decision. The people, not the people who agree with you, find people in your life to correct you, your leader, your pastor, your man of God, your woman of God, whoever that person is. You should tell them, you're authorized to correct me. See, some of you are afraid to do that because you don't want to be corrected. But when you love correction and see it as a gift, it'll change your life. Correct me. I always tell my pastor that, babe, you see me doing something wrong, you're at liberty to tell me. Because I don't want to be lost. I love you so much. You are blessed. You're anointed. You're powerful. KCC Charlotte, you got some extra dessert. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for all of you. You're blessed. And nothing's going to be able to stop you. Love you so much.